We spoke yesterday. We said the three shitas. Jeremy said he knows the shitas very well. What are the three shitas again? Right?
Puzzle, either because of Karo or because of Sheker.
Awesome.
The third one I forgot.
No, that was a three. That's, no, go within Psul Adas, two different ways. That ends up being three. Perfect. So those three. Nice. Yeah. And we mentioned one of the nafkamina would be if it's if the aid is going to be L'chova, if me testifying against him will create a chov for myself, would that be considered pasul mishim noger? If it's because m'chashash m'shaker, I'm lying, well, I'm not going to lie to make myself guilty of something. So if it's l'chova, they would believe me. Would not be considered noger be'edos. But if it's going to be because of baldavar or karov, so regardless of the results of however he's testifying for or against me, we're going to throw out my testimony because noger be'edos. Yeah, is that clear? That was what the Shach was saying, that distinction. Okay. Now, there were a few other nafkaminas I wanted to mention today. We ended off shiur yesterday with the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah had the following suffix. We wanted to know, let's say Reuven used to refer to Shimon as a Gazlan. He always called Shimon a Gazlan. And there was a certain case, Din Torah, that Reuven was involved in. And Shimon comes along and testifies against Reuven. So, Shimon's a Gazlan. We can't accept Shimon as an aide. He's a Gazlan. Well, we only know that Shimon's a Gazlan because Reuven testified against him as a Gazlan. But that happened years ago. So, when Reuven originally testified, he wasn't Nogei Be'edus at the time. So, is that going to be Nogei Be'edus or not? So, that's the suffix we ended the Hagos HaShri. So, what would you guys say about this Hagos HaShri, the suffix, whether or not this guy would be considered or be an issue of Nogei Be'edus or not?
And now, is he testifying again at this point or no? Like you just said, he just had one claim back then.
I believe he's testifying right now for him.
Right.
I Reuven, used to call Shimon a Gazlan all the time. Suddenly I had this court case and Shimon comes to testify against me. He's a Gazlan. Look what I said about him a few years ago. You guys documented that in Basin. He's a Gazlan. Okay, it was me. But at the time, I wasn't Ogei Be'edus. We had nothing to do with each other. So he's apostle. Or do you say, no. Well, since right now he's testifying against me, my whole testimony about him being a Gazlan gets thrown out. Because now we're Ogei Be'edus and we could throw out what we said about him in the past. What would you say about this?
So he says in Basin.
Yeah, it was documented.
It wasn't like just on the street where he's like, I don't like this guy, he's a guy.
I think, I don't think the Hagos HaShri actually says it. I assumed
like
to take... But part of passling someone, when you say someone's passel edus, there's certain... You can't just say stam. You don't accept it unless it's within Beis Din. So it has to be within Beis Din.
Right, okay.
So what's the suffix? Whether or not we...
What happens, though, and then Reuven testified that Shimon was a Gazlan in Beis Din, and now what's the case? Now Reuven takes Shimon to court?
No, now Reuven's in a Din Torah. Shimon, the Gazlan, comes along and testifies against Reuven. Now, is he a good aide? The only reason why Shimon is a Gazlan, because Reuven testified against Shimon. But you accept Reuven's testimony, he's no Gebeidus. Well, it happened years ago when I testified against Shimon. That's the suffix of the or Zeruah, as quoted by the Hagos HaShri. So what's the basis of the suffix? What was the stadim? What was he unsure about?
What no Gebeidus, like, what's he did in no Gebeidus?
Exactly, so how, what are the issues?
So if it's Sheker, then Lechora, you wouldn't be able to... I don't know, it sounds like in a case you could just say, well, even though you're saying Gazlan before, like right now, whichever of the three ways you say he's no Gei Be'edus, you could always revert back and say, it doesn't matter what you said before, now you're no Gei Be'edus.
Well, so let's take it. Let's say we take the approach of Chashash Sheker, concerning he's lying. Is that going to be a problem in this case or not? No. Right, why not?
Because we're not going to play this far that, oh, you're just saying that because you wanted the beneficial, like, whatever, because it's your court case right now. Because you've been saying that the entire time. So, it's not logical for us to say, oh, you're only saying that because, like, that's been your call on this guy for
even before
5 years. So,
even
like, we're
not going to
say you're only saying that. That's like the only reason. That's like shock in general. We can't assume that you're lying because you might only be saying this because of the court case right now. But you're not saying that court case right now. You've been saying that for the past whatever 5 years.
Right,
therefore, it's like a symptom that you're not lying. I
had no reason to lie beforehand. I had no court case.
What's the chashash mishaka that he's lying that he ever called the Gazlan in the past?
Right. If in general, why don't we accept an edus when it's no gay? Why not? If that whole reason in general causes chashash mishaka, because if I'm biased to this case, I'm going to lie for my own benefit. So here, when I testified years ago, It had no relevance to me, the fact that I called the guy a Goslin.
Are we saying that he's lying that he testified in the past, or we know that he testified in the
past? No, I'm saying, so there's no concern of lie. There's no that wasn't no Gebe Edis. No?
No, I'm just asking what's the case. What's the Chashash Meshaker?
Yeah, I'm saying there's no Chashash Meshaker anymore.
What would be?
There is none. I'm saying, normally speaking, no Gebe Edis is a Chashash Meshaker. Okay. We're concerned that you're lying if I'm biased. And but in this case, there's no Chashash Meshaker. Because when I testified about him 10 years ago, there's nothing for me to lie about.
But he's testifying on now that he's an edit.
There's no bias anymore.
We know that only when I'm invested. In
yeah.
He testified in the past and now. I thought we were saying that he lied that he ever testified in the past.
No, he testified about Shimon that he was a Goslin. But now we're using Shimon as an aid. Do we accept his testimony when it happened 10 years ago? Why not? Yeah, I had no reason to lie 10 years ago when I said he was a Goslin. There's no din Torah, I know Shaykhas to him or anything. So it's not no Gebe Edus, and therefore we would accept him as we would not accept him as an aid now. He's considered a Gazla now.
What's the significance of Reuven calling him a Baal Sheker in the past? Like, why? What do we not care that Reuven called Shimon that? It could have been like Levi, whatever. You
no,
anyone.
Because now there's Negius. Because now Shimon's testifying against Reuven, the guy who.
Okay, so for the second side, you're saying that there's going to be an issue. I'm saying for this Chashash Meshaker, it's irrelevant if someone called Shimon.
No, because there's no question Negius then.
Correct. No. But I'm saying that's only the Baal Dover aspect.
It's Megala that it's not a Chashash Meshaker now, since he already testified about him years before that he's a Gazan. So it matters.
So too, someone else says that.
No, because if someone else testified and then years later someone else testifies, then the Chashash Meshaker still applies. Because who says that you're not lying about this guy just before?
Let me see here.
You don't believe that. You might not really believe that he's a Gazan. Somebody else says that. You just might be going on what someone else says.
But that's not. Gazan, though, then
but that doesn't get.
No,
that's, no.
If you testify about Shimon being a Gazan, and Shimon testifies against me, he can. He's a Gazan. The question when I testified about Shimon being a Gazan, and now Shimon's testifying against me years later, the question is that going to be no Gebe Edus or not? That's the question.
Okay.
So we answer no, it's not no Gebe Edus. Because when I testified about him 10 years ago, there's no reason for me to lie and say he was no Gebe Edus. It must have been that he was a real Goslin when I testified. So the same thing's going to apply whether I or you testify, but you can at least raise the question of no Gebe Edus when I was the one who apostled him.
Okay.
But this is the suffix of the Orzeru. He wasn't so clear about that. Orzeru didn't say, okay, he's a Vaday Gazlan and can't testify. Well, maybe he's not a Gazlan. Maybe he shouldn't be able to testify. Why? The other side is the harder thing to figure out now. Why would you think he wouldn't be a Gazlan? He's a Baal Dover. Exactly.
Jake was saying that though, it's like kind of like the Gemara and Ksuvos though, that if something's like Asal Goloi or something's Kavua, this guy's a shame Goslin. So then maybe we shouldn't apply I think that's what you're saying, right? In other words, if it's something that's a known fact, something like that, so then it's not Chashash Meshaker. It's yes or no. It's like that's why the Gemara understands Goloi but Asal. So it's like. Maybe he's always been calling him.
But it's not Gili Milsa. That's not Gili Milsa, like Pekah Mishpacha. Gili Milsa of Pekah Mishpacha is much easier to find out than someone being a Gazan.
You can't actually be Kuvay that Shame Gazan on him or something. You can actually find out.
Shame Gazan is really relying on Edus. And it's the Edus of this person. Since his Edus is relying on me, so if I'm no Gebe Davar, that Edus falls away. Because I'm a Baal Davar. You can't accept my Edus about this guy being a Gazan. Mimela Shimon becomes a good aid, and he can't testify against me. Because my aid is against him being Gazan years ago, well, now I'm Baal Dover. So he becomes kosher right now. And that's how the Stipler explains the suffix of the Orzer Ruh. Okay. Now there's another Afkmina, which the Stipler brings as well. And that's the following. The Mishnah Melech, Hilchos Eidus, Perkei, Halacha Gimla. Anybody see this Mishnah Melech? Anybody know it? No one saw this? So the Mishnah Melech brings the following machlokas. There's a concept called Nimsa Echad Mem Karva Pasal. What's the din? If I have a cat of Edim, the whole cat is thrown out. If one of these people are found to be a Karav or a Pasal, the entire group of Edim are thrown out. We can't accept them anymore. What's the din if I find that one of the Edim is Nogeya? Okay. Still Nogeya.
Can you say it again?
Yeah. The concept called Nimsa Echad Karav Pasal. If I have a cat of Edim, say five Edom, two Edom, one of them is the car of one of them's apostle, you throw out the entire cat. Mm-hmm. They're all thrown out. Okay? Now what happens if you find that one of them is Nogea, the Edus? So the Mishnah Melech writes that although one of them might be Nogea Be'edus, the rest of the Edom still stands, and that's the Shitas of the Rivash. However, he quotes the Baal Trumos that says the opposite. If you find one to be Nogea Be'edus, one of these Edom, then the whole cat of Edom are thrown out, like the normal din.
Nogea Be'edus or Baal Dover specifically?
No, Nogea Be'edus. So the machlokes is Nogea Be'edus throw out the entire cat of Edom or not? So how would we explain this machlokes? Remember you said the sutras in the beginning? How would we connect this to Nogea Be'edus? Right, we said that if we want to know whether the din of Nogea Be'edus will have the same din of being Mevatel the entire cat of Edom. If you find one of the Edom to be Nogea, B'davar, is the whole cat going to be thrown out or not? So what would that machlokes be based on?
I understand.
Okay, so let's say it.
Maybe it's a chashash, mishaker, like a goslin, whatever. Some you probably throw out all of them, no?
Yeah. So he's an apostle, so like Nimsa Echad Vakar, apostle. You throw out the entire cat. If he's an apostle, Medim Chashash Meshaker. Sure, no, a lot of the reasons why people are apostle, like a Goslin and whatnot, Russia, is because we're concerned they're going to be lying. So yeah. And not necessarily true. You're right. It's a good question. In general, any psul, you have to raise that question whether the psul is because of psul begavra, just an objective psul, or because of the chashash mashaka. You're right. Good point. But chashash mashaka, I think everyone will agree he will be possible. Not every psul is based on the chashash mashaka, but every chashash mashaka is going to be possible. Not every psul will be based on the chashash mashaka. It might be based on something else. But every chashash mashaka will be possible. And every puzzle.
One of those agents are puzzle because of a technical reason or something.
So, no, but you're right. But even still, anytime there's an aid psul, whatever the reason is, he's going to the whole cow will be thrown out. Whether it's chashash mashaker, whether it's karov, whatever the psul is going to be thrown out. So it seems pashut, you can be thrown out. The question is why won't it be thrown? Why is there an opinion that says if you have nimsa echad nogei b'davar, why won't you throw the whole kai out? That's the biggest question. Yeah, Eitan? Well, if it's the chova, then it wouldn't be an issue of nogei anymore, I guess. I would assume. It's a good question. I would assume he wouldn't be nogei anymore. We accept his edus. We actually accept it, so it won't throw the whole thing out. So it seems clear, the easiest thing to say is, well, why should nogei b'davar be any different than any other psul or karov? So you should throw out the entire kai. But why would the opinion say that, no, you don't throw the whole entire, why would the Rivasha, you don't throw the entire Edus out? You should maintain the Edus. Why would you say that? He's possible, no gay B'davar. He's Baal Dover, right? And you guys are reading the Gemara's Makos. If you're Baal Dover, you're not even an aid anymore. You're not an aid possible. If some random guy goes along with the Edom to just join them in the group, and he happens to be possible, well, he's not part of the Edom, he's a random guy. This guy who's Nogea B'davar, he's a random guy. He's not an aid. Only an aid whose puzzle is going to disqualify the entire cut. Nogea B'davar is a Baal Dover. He's a Baal Dover. He's not an aid. A Baal Dover does not puzzle the entire cut. And that's how the disciple explains this, these 2 days in the Mishnah Melech as well.
Would you say to like the same extent that, let's say, I mean, the reverse works true as well, that if you only found those four Edom as Zomim, then you'd have been hazaman by all of them. Like let's say the guy who's a Baal Dover, you didn't find him to be the eight domain. Only the four.
I would agree. Yeah.
And therefore
sure.
You'd say all of them get.
Yeah. The same thing would apply. So that's the lashon of the Ravid again. The Ravid is quoted by the Rajba and one of the opinions in Baba Basra that ain aid is klal. And Ogei B'davar is not considered an aid at all. Right, so is that clear those two nafkaminas, guys? Yeah? Again, one was about, yeah, Kiyos Yaakov also explains this Mishnah Melech. And there's a third nafkamina this type it brings as well. Again, the first two was, the first nafkamina was the how to explain the suffix of the or zeruah. Second nafkamina is the Mishnah Melech about Nimsa Echad Karvapasel. The third nafkamina is based on the Gemara, which we read on a little more now. That's why it's very important to do the sugya here, because it really helps the Gemara's in Sanhedrin. You guys good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Fine. So, let's go right to the Gemara now, and we'll see this third nafkamina. Right now we find ourselves halfway down Chav Gimel Mabez, Ki Asur of Dimi. Gemara says, Ki Asur of Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochan. Machlokas b'shtei kite edim. Going back to understanding machlokas in the Mishnah. Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. What are they arguing about? Rabbi Meir allows you to pasul edim. Chachamim says you can't unless you have some proof. So the machlokas is when you have two kite edim, two groups of edim. I'm the Baal Din. I say I've got two different groups of edim I want to bring forward. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Meir savar tzarach levar. Rabbi Meir, hold, I have to clarify my words. If I say two kite edim, I've got to bring two kite edim. I've got to maintain and keep to my word. Rabban Savri ain't tzarach levar. I don't have to. Although I said two kite edim, I only have to bring one. So what does that mean? So I'll explain Rashi outside. Rashi says, for Rabbi Meir, since I've got to bring two kite edim, so I'm allowed to apostle, you're allowed to apostle my first set of edim. Okay, that's why Rabbi Meir allows you to apostle edim, because I still have to bring a second one. If I say two kite edim, I've got to bring two kite edim. So that Rabbi Meir allows you to apostle the first set. Chum say, no, although I said I'm bringing two kite edim, I don't have to bring both of them. I don't have to be mevar my words. If I bring one, that's enough. So if you pass on my first set of Edom, I may not be able to bring a second set of Edom. I don't have to bring a second Edom, and Mimela, you disqualified my whole entire Edith. And that's no gay bedavar. That's how Rashi explains this Malchokas now. And Rashi brings in a different opinion that everything's flipped on its head. Right? Meir Chachamim. Right? Meir says, Ein Tzarech Levar. Chachamim says, you do have to levar. We're not going to explain that Shita. It happens to be like four or five different Pshatim in this Gemara. I'm very involved. I'm not going to go through that. Tosos, Rabbeinu Chanan, Yad Ramak, Peirush Mishnayos. Okay, but they're arguing about, yeah?
It sounds like Rashi is saying that it's not Chashat Meshachar. Is that right in saying that?
It's not. Why do you say that?
Because then when he explains to a mayor that you can only pass all, that they're only going to pass one group.
Mm-hmm.
These eight can pass both groups if they want. They can just keep on passing every group that comes. But he's not worried about that.
Well, Rabbi Meir says you only pass on the first group, not in the second group.
But the reason is, wait, so you can't pass on the second group?
Only the first group. Because I'm not no gay right now, because according to Rabbi Meir, I have to bring in a second group. If I say I'm bringing two groups, I must bring two groups. So passing my first group of Aden doesn't really affect me. So I have a backup to bring. But then the Gemara says, Aval, the kas achas, if I have one kas, let's say we both say I have one kas of Eden to bring. So divri akol, even Rabbi Meir says, Ein yachol posen. Rabbi Meir says, I can't posel them, that's no gea. If I posel them, then the entire case is thrown out. Everyone agrees in such a case. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. Omri lufon of Rav Ami Rav Asi, Ein sham ela kas achas mao. What, let's say there's only one kas. What's the din? Gemara says, what do you mean? We just said, Ein sham ela kas achas, v'homers aval b'kas achas, divir kol in yachol apostel. Everyone, we just said before, if one kas, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Meir, you can't disqualify them. Ela nimtas kas shnia kroven opsulen mao. The question is as follows. Let's say, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds, if I say two kite edim, I got to bring two kite edim. And I allow you to pass the first one because I have a second group. And the second group is found to be karv apostel now. Now I'm left with nothing. So do we say retroactively the first set of Edom are going to be rehabilitated now because you're Edom, or no? Once we accepted their testimony, they're done. That's the shayla of the Gemara. And then, so what's the din? So Amr Lahen, Kvar Heidu Edom Rishonim? No, the answer, the first Edom already testified. Unclear what that means. Yikadami Amr Vashi, Kvar Heidu Edom Rishonim. Others say Rav Ashi was the author of the statement that the first Edom already testified. That answers the question. How does that answer the question? What does Gemara mean when it says that the first Edom already testified? Again, the case is as follows. Rabbi Meir holds, if I say I'm bringing two kite Edom, I have to bring both groups of Edom. And we allow you to pass the first set of Edom because I've got a backup to bring. But let's say the backup now gets disqualified. So now I got nothing. So do we say the original testifying what you did is rehabilitated and the first Edom are kosher? Or no, at that moment, you were allowed to testify because there is no negiah. And they're thrown out forever. That's the suffix. And the Gemara answers, Kfar Heidu Harishonim. was kvar hidu arishonim. Meaning, so you look at Rashi, kind of like eight wide lines down or so. Tibur masu kvar hidu arishonim. He has two pshatim. First, Rashi says after the parentheses, kishenimtas kash shniya psula. Once we find the second kat to be pasul, kvar niskabla b'kashus edu san shel edu, hameidim hal psul. V'adayin lo haya nogei b'edus. Well, the first set of edim were already accepted, and at that moment there's no nogei b'edus. So the first kat of edim are thrown out, and they're thrown out forever. So once originally we accepted that the first edim are pasul, since I had a second group to bring, they're pasul forever, even though we find out later on that the guy has no edim to bring. The first group of edim that I brought, that you disqualified, that first group, you originally disqualified it, and that's what it's referring to. Shehaidu be'idus and shabalidinim, that originally testified for the baldin. Umehemne, we believe them originally, we believe them now. The chayim de shniya psula, since that we found that the second kat were also puzzle. Sulo mifshle kamai, now retroactively the original edim are no longer puzzle. The havli no gea be'idus. Lashon rishon nir. So the two opinions in Rashi, how to understand the Gemara, it says, do we allow the original kat of edim to come back to life because now it's no gea be'idus? Or no, we say once they're possible, they're possible forever. Is that clear how to read these two lines in Rashi? So I'll just say, yeah.
What was the reason they were
possible
in the first place?
Because Rameir says, I have to bring two kit. If I say two kit edim, I've got to bring both of them. So when you possible my first set of edim, I was okay with that. That's not no gea because I had to bring a second group.
Was there a good reason they possible them? Because they're
karo? You said they were avadim, let's say. You had a good reason. But you're also the baldin fighting me. You're no gea. Rameir says, you're not no gea because you could knock those out. I still have to bring a second group, which I said I'm going to bring. So that's not nogea. But once you find the second group to be puzzle, mafreya, you were nogea, because I have nothing to speak of now. So the question is, do we say nogea be'edus l'mafreya? Can we retroactively say l'mafreya? So this is basically the same issue, very, very similar issue to the Orza rule. This is what the Stipler explains. If it's about chashash mishaker, well, you guys say it. Of the two opinions of Rashi? Do you see the case that you originally passed my first set of Edom, and we allowed you to, even though you're no Gael, you're fighting against me, because I said I'm bringing a second Kusher group of Edom. So you're not no Gael. But then we found out that this second group of Edom are possible also. I've got nothing now. So do we say now, since you're no Gael, retroactively, well, at that time you were no Gael, but now looking back, you are no Gael. Because by you knocking me my Edom out, I've got nothing, and you're going to win. So that's the two different opinions of Rashi.
And the other side is, no, once we accept the first set of Edom,
it's final.
It's fine.
Exactly, it's final. So what do you think about that?
And now that guy has no more Edom.
Now the guy has no more Edom, right. Other way. Yeah, that's how the Cypher says the other way. He says, I'll explain to you why. It's hard, I hear why you're saying that though. But at the moment when you originally testified about my group of Edim, there's no chashash mishaker. Why would you lie? You know I have a second group of Edim. Your actions won't accomplish anything. So there's no chashash mishaker. You're just telling the emes. You're not trying to lie, because it's not going to work for you. You assume the second group of Edim I'm bringing are kosher. So there's no chashash mishaker in that case. It's the same thing as the other case where Reuven testified about Shimon prior to the case ever happening. There's no reason I would lie. I didn't know 10 years from now we're going to be in a court case together. It happened before the events. You're not nogea. There's no chashash mishaker. But if the reason is because you're a baldavar, l'maisa, we're a baldavar. The edim you brought, you're a baldavar. Okay, maybe you testified about them a few hours ago, but right now you're a baldavar. So the whole reason why these people are puzzled is totally in your edis. Your edis, you're a baldavar. Your edis is a non-edis and gets thrown away. Very similar construct to the Orza Ruah Suffolk. That's how the Stipler explains.
So I hear that, but how does the whole Mafreya business work? Because Bishas...
You're going back to the Gemara and Ksubas before. Like, once he's a Gazan, he's a Gazan forever. Once he's an Ebed, he's an Ebed forever.
No. I'm saying, like, that... Like, for at the time of the first Kass, he was not Nogeya B'Davar, correct?
He was not... Exactly. Well,
It's interesting that, like, Lemaitre can only work on a technical din as opposed to a mindset of a Val din.
What?
Like, Lemaitre can only work on being a Val davar.
Yeah.
As opposed to, let's say, a chashash of shaker.
Right. Because well, at the moment, we weren't concerned that he would be lying.
But that doesn't tell me why that Lemaitre would work on a Baal Dover.
Because if he's a Baal Dover, a Baal Dover should work. Exactly, Baal Dover should work even the first time. Even the first time he testified against my Edom, although there's no lie, right?
No, b'shas.
Maybe that's what he means to say. Even it might be Pshat Rashi. I'm not sure that's Pshat Rashi, but I hear that point. If you're Baal Dover, so the first moment he tried passing my Edom, even though I've got a second group, we shouldn't accept him because he's a Baal Dover right now. Unless you don't consider that nogea still, because it's not direct. It's not nogea because I still have a second kind of edim. I'm not relying on these edim so much. So maybe it's not a pure nogea. When I'm relying on the edim, that's nogea. When I've got a backup, maybe that's not considered nogea. So I'll clean on that.
I mean, that means nogea edim, you're expanding,
limiting.
You're limiting it to meaning that it's not just the Baal Dover in the general case, meaning it doesn't matter if I bring 1,000 Edom, it means that no, am I a Baal Dover to this specific.
Well, the Gemara itself had Pekah Mishpacha. That Machlokas. Pekah Mishpacha, I'm testifying about the guy's family and not about him. Is that Nogea or not?
Right, but here you're still. But here the difference between Pekah Mishpacha and here is here both Edom are going to be accomplishing the same action of testifying against me. Pekah Mishpacha is, I'm testifying about the guy's grandfather who has nothing to do with this case here. Whichever kind of Edom I testify directly affects this case. You're doing the same thing for both Kita Edom.
I hear it's more direct here, but if I've got a backup group, it's not as direct.
I agree it's not as direct.
Right. I guess that's probably a big question. If you have to start defining how direct is Nogay have to be. And it seems the way the Stifler understands this, you have to be direct, mamish. If I've got a backup Edom, that's not considered Nogay. But once I find out the second cat is no good, Lemaitre becomes Nogea, and Lemaitre only works for a Baal Dover. Okay, so that's Pshat and Stipler. We have a few Nafkamina. This Sugya really is found, as I said yesterday, it's really above Basra Sugya. But there are a few Nafkaminas that do come from the Sugya. That's why it's very important to do. Okay, but let's finish some of the Gemara here. Now, go weiter. So right now we are the first Y line, the last word in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Nema b'pluks the Rebbe Rishim ben Gamliel kamithli." Maybe the machlok is about whether tarach levar or in tarach levar, do I have to keep to my word or not? Maybe that's the same machlok as tonight we have between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. What are they arguing about? The Tanya, habali don b'shtar u'b'chazaka. Let's say I come forward and I say, I want to, you know, bring a proof from a shtar. I want to bring a proof from a chazaka that this land is mine. I want to bring both of those. So do I have to prove both the shtar and the chazaka, or one's enough? So, nidom mishtar divrei Rebbe. All I have to do is bring the shtar as proof. I don't have to bring the chazaka. And Rashbag omer nidom bechazaka. I only have to bring a chazaka. I don't have to bring a shtar. And the Gemara says, v'avinam ba bechazaka v'lo b'shtar. I only can bring a chazaka. I can't bring a shtar. Shtar is better than chazaka. How could I say a chazaka works and a shtar doesn't work? And the Gemara says, no, you're right. Elaim af bechazaka. I can also bring a chazaka. In other words, I can either bring a chazaka or a shtar. Rebbe says, I have to bring a shtar. I have to bring a shtar. Chazaka won't work. Why? So Rashi explained, I'll explain this outside. According to Rebbe, he holds tzarech levar. I have to explain my words. I got to keep to my words. Okay? So I have to bring a shtar and a chazaka. Well, by me bringing a shtar basically trumps chazaka. I don't need a chazaka. It's basically bringing a chazaka and then some. So I have to mevar my words by bringing a shtar. Rashbag says, I don't have to mevar my words. If I bring a chazaka, just as good as bringing a shtar. Although I said I'm going to bring a shtar and a chazaka, either one's good. Bring a chazak is okay. I don't have to be mivar my words. That's how Rashi explains his machlokas, and it's the same exact machlokas, perhaps, as Rei Meir and Chachamim. So Gemara says, "Bekayim lan de b'tzarach levar pligim." We explain that machlokas is tzarach levar, and Gemara says, "No, not really true." Aliba de Rashbag, according to Rashbag, who says I just have to bring a chazaka or a shtar, either one. You don't have to be mivar. Clearly, I'm a little pligim. Everyone agrees. No one argues on that. He pligi aliba the Rebbe. Within Shita's Rebbe, who says sarach levar, I have to bring a shtar. Because if I bring a shtar, it proves my shtar, and it also proves my chazaka. I have to be levar. Within Rebbe, they argue, well, will he say the same thing when it comes to pasling edim? The Reimeir Karebi, Reimeir holds like Rebbe, Tzarech Levar. If I say two kite Adim, I gotta bring two kite Adim, Tzarech Levar. Remember, Bonan Ar Milcha, Ad Kanlo Kama Rebbe Halsam. Rebbe only says it over there for the Chazak and Shtar, the Bechazaka Mikach Shtar Kaasi. Chazaka flows from a Shtar. They're very much connected, and there's a whole sugi you could do about that. Jake wants to do that. The relationship of Shtar and Chazaka, why does a Chazaka take place of the Shtar? About Hocha, the honey Adim, La Mikach Adim Achrini Kaasi. But here, these two Kite Adim have nothing to do with each other. A few Rabbi made mode that ain't Tarach Levar. You don't have to be even vire the words. When the Shtar and Chazak are so linked to each other, so if I don't bring the Chazak, that shows a weakness in my Shtar. If I don't bring the Shtar, rather the other way, if I don't bring the Shtar, that's a weakness in my Chazak, because they're so closely linked. But when I say Tuki to Adim, the Tuki to Adim have nothing to do with each other. There's no they're both relevant to me, but between the two of them, there's no connection. So they're both viewed independently, and I don't have to even vire my words. That's how the Gemara to explain. And therefore, the two different machlokas in Rebbe Meir Chachamim do not argue the same machlokas as Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon. They're both within Rebbe of Tzarech Levar. Does he have the same machlokas when it comes to Pasalim Yedim? Okay. Then the Gemara says, maybe there's a different machlokas in between Rebbe Meir Chachamim. What's a machlokas? Ki asa Rabbi Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Maybe the machlokas is as follows between Rebbe Meir and Chachamim. Reisha be'edim psulim v'dayan k'sher. Migo the Pasi Adim Pasi Nami Dayanim. So if I passel the Adim, will I also be able to passel Dayanim? That's Machlokas. And Sepe B'Dayanim Psulim V'Adim K'sherim. The Migo the Pasi Dayanim Pasi Nami Adim. The Machlokas is, if I passel the Adim, can I also, will that Mela allow me to passel Dayanim or no? The Adim and Dayanim are two different things. We don't say such a Migo. I don't want to get involved with the Migo so much, but this is a different machokas, right? Meir Chachamim, how much do we allow, again, if we allow him to pass on Edom, does that show some nemonis when it comes to the Dayanim, and vice versa? And Gemara says, Bishlama Migo to pass the Edom, pass the Naim Dayani. I understand if I could pass the Edom, that allows me to pass the Dayanim also, because Ika Beidina Achrina, I can always go to another Beidin. But Ela Migo to pass the Dayani, pass the Naim Edom? If I could pass the Dayanim, that's going to allow me to pass the Edom? Va'edim suleka. It's not fair. What gives me the right, because I passel Dayanim, that his Edim are also going to be passel? The guy has no Edim. His whole case is thrown out? That's not fair. Because the Gemara says, Lo tzricha de'iga kasachar. No, it means where he has a backup set of Edim. Where there's a backup set of Edim, then by me passeling his Dayanim, I could passel his Edim also because he has a backup. Ha'laka kasachar. If he has no backup set of Edim, then my ha'chanami de'lo matzi pasli, then you can't passel them. So basically, machlokas is whether in the case of two kite edim, could you passel the first group or not? And Mara said, well, isn't that a machlokas we said before? Hainu derva'a dimi. That's the first machlokas we said. So Mara says, no, there's ikka benayo, there's an afkamino. Migo de mara sever amino, migo de amigo. Mara sever lo amino amigo. They're arguing whether you hold to such a amigo. If I could passel edim, can I passel dayanam? Can I passel dayanam? Can I passel edim? I know it's very quick. Hopefully, you guys saw the shock of the tire. There's not too much going on here. Okay, now we get to some good agada. So let me ask you guys, I'll say a little bit about the beginning of the Agada. The question is whether tomorrow you want to do, there's two discussions in this Agada. There's one discussion about the certain personalities of Reish Lakish Reh Meir, and there's another discussion about the difference between Eretz Yisrael and the Torah of Eretz Yisrael versus the Torah of Babel. So for the next few minutes, I'll just discuss about Reish Lakish Reh Meir just for a few minutes. Do you want to spend the shiur on the difference between Talmud Eretz Yisrael and Talmud Babel, or should I wait for a Thursday shiur to do that? Any preference? I mean, we could do it tomorrow, the Sugya of Talmud Eretz Yisrael, Talmud Bavel, and you guys could start getting involved in the Sugya of Tartel Eretz. I keep a little eye. I might give you guys some more time. Maybe we could talk about it tomorrow. We could see how far you guys got in the Mar Makomos and see whether it's worth doing a... So, I guess we'll figure out tomorrow during Seder. We'll do that tomorrow. Okay, so let's just start the quick agat here, just a few lines. The Gemara says Gufa. We quoted earlier in the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, Pek Kadosh Yomar Davarzet. This pure mouth, very nice, humble way of speaking about Rabbi Meir, he said the following, Tani Edo. The Mishnah didn't say Edo, it said Edo. Gemara was very, a bit taken aback that Reish Lakish was talking in such nice terms about Rabbi Meir. Why? V'homer Ula Haroez Reish Lakish Bebeis Medjish Ki'ilu Oke Harim V'Tokun Zebazeh. If you ever saw Reish Lakish learning the base Medjish, he was so wild. He was jumping all over the place. He was uprooting mountains. He was really in-depth, a wild individual. He's talking so respectfully to Reish Lakish, a Pek Kadosh. The Gemara says, Amravinu Balo Kola Ro Re Meir Base Magish. If you saw right Meir also, Kilo Oke Harim. He was the same Hari Harim. He was uprooting mountains on top of mountains. The Tokhlin Debaden, like grinding them together. So Reb Meir also was a pretty vicious learner as well. So Hachi Kamar. Bov Ra Kama Mechavin Zedze. Now this is the Chiddush. Although Reish Lakish and Reb Meir were so vibrant and vicious and aggressive in their learning, in the end of the day, they were really nice to each other. They had midos. In the end of the day, Reish Lakish has pek hadosh, just pure mouth. So although you have to be very aggressive when it comes to learning, you have to be very respectful, of course, to others as well, and talk nicely. So within that, I just wanted to just bring, I've been interested very recently in understanding the different personalities in the Gemara. Oftentimes, when I used to learn, I kind of ignore who the statement was being said by, and was more focused on the actual statement, the actual concept. But when you start focusing on the individuals, and especially when the Gemara classifies a certain individual with a certain personality or a certain style of learning, it makes it, you know, sits with you a little more, you start appreciating other sugyas and shas, which seem to highlight the same idea. So the end, in the back of the Sefer Kovet Tisodos V'Chakiros, or the Kovet, that it has the shitasos of the different Amaram and Tanaim, their particular, you know, nature, personality in terms of learning. So just a few things that I found, a couple of things that I saw as well in the Sefer, were as follows. The Gemara in Menachos Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, Reish Lakish said the following statement. The Samach Aaron is Shtei Yadav. Aaron placed his hand. The word Yadav is spelled Yudal Vav. Sounds like his hand, but it's read Yadav. So Yadav, although it's Yadav, it's read Yadav, and that means anytime there's smicha, you have to put two hands on. Shtei Yadav, it says. Always two hands. That's Reish Lakish's Chiddush. So comes along Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar told the following sugya to the Beis Medrash, but he did not quote Reish Lakish's name. Said it on his own. Reish Lakish got very upset. He said, Oh yeah? What about when it says Shei Yadav here and Shei Yadav here? Shei Yadav here. And 24 questions he asked Reb Elazar. He got really angry. The Gemara says, Ikpat Reish Lakish. He got very angry and started asking shaylas from left to right. And Reb Elazar kind of like, you know, stayed quiet. He didn't know how to answer. And Reish Lakish said, I'll tell you the answer. This is the answer. But you see from here, Reish Lakish was very fiery individual. Now, that might make a lot of sense. Reish Lakish came, he was used to be a robber. You were going to say that?
No, he's like Reish Lakish.
He
used to be a robber.
He used to be a robber. He was a Baal Tshuva. So maybe it came from his past, who knows, but he was very, very aggressive. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tesman Beis, talks about a story. Reish Lakish seems to always be like in the river, on the Yarden, swimming. That's how he was a robber originally. That's where he became Baal Tshuva. So Reish Lakish was in the Yarden once again and came along Rabbi Barichana. And he gave him his hand to help Reish Lakish out of the Yarden. And Reish Lakish yells at him, your God hates you. That's what he says to him. He says, why? Based on a pasuk in the people who live in Bavel, Reish Lakish was an Eretz Yisrael. People who live in Bavel, he hates people like you. And quotes a number of psukim why that's true. Now that's relevant for the next guy at the topic about the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. But Reish Lakish, again, very fiery, very, very attacking. The Gemara Sanhedrin later on, we don't have to read inside now. Daf Chavav Amnaf, Reish Lakish is walking through the field and seeing people being over. It looks like they're being over a certain dinim of Shvius, and he called them names. Not the regular way a Tana or Mara would really react to people doing violations, but Reish Lakish is very fiery. And you'll see later on Chavav how he refers to people as bad names for violating a number of Yisurim and Shvius. The Gemara in Beta Daf Chav Hamin Beis talks about the importance of Azus. Importance of Azus. What? Azupanim. And Reish Lakish, there are a few people who mentioned this idea. Reish Lakish says there are three people who are Azim, who have this mid of Azus. Reish Lakish is saying the statement. Yisrael Beumos, and he quotes a Kelev Bechayas, a dog, and a Tarnagol among the Opus. But Yisrael Beumos, Yisrael among the nations had this idea of Azus. Reish Lakish was praising this midah of Azus because that's what he stood for. That's what his personality was. This vicious, fiery individual. And finally, there's a Gemara in, I guess two more Gemaras. One Gemara says that Reish Lakish he's the opinion who we see in Rashi, I think, quotes his Al-Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchos. So, Asher Shibarta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Yashikoch Asher Shibarta. Yashikoch, you did a good job breaking that. Now, that was a very angry act of Moshe Rabbeinu. whether it's called for or not. Reish Lakish thought for sure it was called for. When you ever show your azus, your anger, kind, whatever it is, Reish Lakish prays such a midah. And finally, there's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. This was alluding to Rabbi Yochanan we spoke about Friday night. Reish Lakish, the Gemara says that when Moshe and Aaron met Paro by Sfas HaYor, so Reish Lakish, well, the Gemara switches the order. I'll tell you the maskana of things. Rabbi Yochanan held, they went there they show to be masbir upon him, to show a good face to the Melch, and to show him kavod, to honor him. Reish Lakish says, no, they went there because of a rush of a haste, panav panech. They wanted to show him azus and anger to Paro. So you see all these different places in Shas that Reish Lakish has this idea in his personality, and it reflected itself in the way he learned Osef, Oker Harim, which Oker Harim is a way of learning, an in-depth way of learning. So I just find those things very fascinating. You may or may not find those things fascinating, but I just thought it was interesting to gather together all those different sources.
Amen.